Welcome everyone to the Apocalypse Podcast. I'm Steve. He is
Larry.
Larry, it is.
Yeah. Today it's only Larry. After this day, that's the most I can muster for
you. I have nothing left to give.
I am beyond done. And by Lynn listened to the last one of ours and she said, "Do you realize you call the dolphin a fish?" Because I said they should have something that represents the fish, like a dolphin. And I meant oceanic creatures, not, and I said fish. And okay. We all know that the dolphin is not a fish.
No, it's an elephant.
Right.
Isn't everything an elephant? Isn't that where we were going with last
time? That's right. Like, if elephants could swim, and I think they can, actually.
Yes, yes.
They swim quite well.
Yes, yes.
Ah.
Yes.
So, yeah. So anyway, I apologize to everybody, to our massive group of listeners that I suggested that a dolphin was a fish because I do know better.
Yes, to you truth seekers out there, we're willing to correct ourselves.
That's right. Yeah.
Except for the other heresies that we believe.
Well, yes, like see you later and thanks for all the fish.
Except now we're going to change it to thanks for all the dolphins.
Yes. Yes. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That's what the dolphins said when they were leaving. See you later. Thanks for all the fish.
That's awesome. Awesome. No, that's good. It's an important thing to correct up.
Yeah.
Larry, we're going to talk about Revelation 5.
Yeah, and normally, Steve, we do these together. We usually do 4 and 5 together, and this time we thought we'd do just a couple short ones and do 4 as a standalone and 5 as a standalone. But these two chapters really do belong together.
Yeah.
So in 4, we saw John went into heaven, and he saw God on the throne, remember? And he doesn't actually see a person on a throne, but he sees lights. It's lights and sounds. Captured him, and now he sees the one sitting on the throne at the right hand of him who's sitting on the throne, and that's what 5 is about.
Yes. So folks, if you're doing the take-home version of this, I just thought of that actually. If you're playing along at home, if you're doing the take-home version of the Apocalypse Podcast,
because we know that Alex Trebek is now, he's gone.
Yeah, that's a sad moment. Yeah.
It is sad, but there's room for one of us then.
Yes, that's right. So,
I'm going to pose everything in the form of a question.
Which actually is quite fitting to Revelation, too, when you think about it.
Well, that is true.
Because it does ask a lot more questions than it actually answers. That's not true. I just made that part up. Sorry about that post.
Anyway. No, I like that. I think it does. It poses many questions, and we have few answers.
Yeah. But we are reading now the English Standard Version, mostly because we don't want to be sued. So anyway, we go there. We'll be in Revelation 5, verse 1. I'm going to read from 1 to the end of 4, I'm taking it. End of 5.
Probably the end of 5, yeah.
End of 5, sorry. Okay, so Revelation 5, starting at verse 1. And then I saw the right hand of him who was seated on the throne, a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. And I began to weep loudly because there was no one found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its 7 seals."
And there's something that they say about Jesus and God, and that's that many Christians, not all Christians, but many Christians are Trinitarian. So they believe that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one being.
Yeah.
Three separate beings, but one essence, one entity, really. And but there are very few places in Scripture that actually say that try to do a Trinity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And very few places in Scripture. Really, the fact that Jesus is God comes almost naturally to the disciples. They don't actually try to equate Jesus with God in very many places. You know, Jesus says, "He who has seen me has seen the Father," things like that.
Right.
But here, that John actually ties Jesus to God very, very tightly by saying that God is seated on the throne and Jesus is seated on the throne with him at his right hand, right? Suggesting that these two are of equal power, that God the Father, God the Son are of equal power. And so it's kind of a nice little piece in the book of Revelation. And you could argue against it. You could say, well, no, he's just sitting there with them. But, you know, not everybody gets to sit on the throne. So it's sort of his way of equating the two. And he'll mention the Holy Spirit here as well in a little bit further down. But right now, Jesus and God, equal in power here.
Right. Right. And John goes to the point of mentioning that the 24 elders are seated on thrones, but different thrones rather than the throne where Jesus is.
And they're on different thrones. And you're going to find a little further down how tightly he equates Jesus with God. And he does that in very strong words in the next little portion. But right now he says, you know, I saw him seated on the throne. You already read this, right, Steve?
Yep.
Okay. I saw him at the right hand of the one on the throne. And he has this scroll written within and on the back, and it was sealed with seven seals. And we don't know exactly what that means, but scholars have suggested that that is a will. That it's not just a contract, but it's actually a will. And so when you open it all up, it plays out all the pieces of the will for the readers. So that's kind of what they suggest here.
Okay.
And there's a mighty angel who said, who is worthy to open the scrolls, right? And John's looking, because he's hearing the angel say this, right? Who's worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And he says, there's no one on heaven or on earth or under the earth that was able to open it. So very, very Lord of the Rings, right?
It's right.
You know, so we're talking the elves and the dwarves. Like none of them can open it.
Nor the sons of men.
Yes, that's right. Or the sons of men who above all, desire power,
yes.
Or above all else, desire power. But really what he's basically saying is no one, like there's just nobody. So he talks about the heavens, right? He talks about the earth. And I really think just to nail it home, just to send it home, he talks about under the earth as well. I don't think he's talking about hell necessarily. Mm. And he wouldn't need to say that because obviously nobody there is worthy to open the scroll.
So true.
So then he starts to weep. And this is John weeping. And this is the actual author of this book crying because no one is worthy to open the scroll. And then one of the elders. Now, who are the elders again? Remember, you said that, Steve.
The 24 elders on the throne, right?
Mm-hmm. On their own thrones. They said, don't cry. Actually, weep no more sounds better than stop crying, right?
Yeah. Will you stop crying?
Yeah. Stop groveling in the dirt. Stop. Yeah. Stop crying. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, and he is the one who is able to open the scrolls. And right away, you know that the Lion of the tribe of Judah is Jesus. He's been, I've heard him referred to that before, but not by you. So.
well played, sir. Well played.
Yeah, thank you. So he does say, he says, look, there is someone that can open the scroll. There is somebody that is able, okay? And then we go on to verse 6.
Okay, verse 6. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing, as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.
Oh, nice reading this time, Steve.
Oh, thanks. I did not bad, eh? Not bad
no, for I an atomizing condition. I think we're moving ahead. So now you got the four living creatures. Remember, you were introduced to these creatures in chapter four. And now they're with the elders and amongst the elders and standing in the middle of the creatures and the elders, you've got a lamb standing as though he had been slain. And that is Jesus, who basically John's saying, you know, the one who died for us on a cross, the one who was slain for us, he is the one standing in the midst of all of these, right? And then the seven spirits of God are also there. So now you've got the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit all together in this throne room scene, right?
Okay.
And they take the scroll. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, so this is the lamb that went and took the scroll. The slain lamb takes the scroll. And when he takes the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. And each had a golden, each had a harp and golden bowls full of incense. So the lamb takes this, and then the 24 elders and the four creatures, they have these bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, which you're going to pick up in chapter six, right?
Okay.
You know, when they're praying before God, and it basically says that God is collecting your prayers. God knows that you're talking to him, right? And then they sing this new song, and they sing, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and open the seals. You were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people." So they're saying, all that they're saying is, Jesus, you're worthy. You are the one who is worthy. You're the one who we can open the scroll. You open it, and you ransomed us when you died on the cross. And it's Jesus. Jesus is God. Jesus died on the cross for us.
Yeah.
And it's for those people, right? Not for us, but we fit into it because we're Christians as well.
Right.
So we bring it to our time and we say it's for us. And he says, in every tribe and language and people and nation, and you've made them a kingdom of priests before our God, and they reign on the earth. So now your people will also reign on the earth with you. That's very nice. Because remember, he's saying this to a church that's being oppressed and crushed and is going to die.
Yeah.
And he's saying, all of this belongs to you. Well, how can it belong to me? I'm absolutely being oppressed here.
Right.
And you're telling me to be nice to my enemies. I don't want to be nice to my enemies. I want God to come down. I want to pray David's vindictive prayers upon people. You know, and I want God to come down and crush and kill and destroy these people. And he's saying, be kind to your enemies. Live the life. Be an overcomer, like I told you in chapters 2 and 3.
Right.
And you're going to reign with me upon this earth.
And
then he said, and I looked and I heard around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. Did you already read this part?
No, I haven't read this part yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. You go ahead.
Oh, no, you were doing fine too. Hey, I like hearing your voice as well. I'm just giving them heck, folks. So picking it up at verse 11 then. And then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders and the elders, the voice of many angels. Wow, I just started to stumble all of a sudden.
I shouldn't have complimented you. When he serves well. Compliment the service, and then he throws it.
Went straight to my head. I thought, I am a professional. Oh, only you and our listeners know I'm not. And then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped.
And there it is right there. All of the praise that went to God in chapter 4 goes to Jesus in chapter 5.
Right.
And that is where John says Jesus is God. Jesus is worthy of the praise that you give to God. Jesus is worthy. And you can't say that about anybody else, right? Do you remember the angels in different places in Scripture? They'll bow down to worship the angels, and the angel goes, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Don't do like that. Yeah. Yeah, we're just creatures like you, you know? Oh, yes. We're better. We're, you know, we're taller. We're better. We're stronger. You know, we got wings. You know, we got the whole thing.
Yeah, however, don't get me wrong. I mean,
yeah, we are better. Don't get me wrong. You know, one day you're going to be over us, which ticks us off to no end.
Yeah, but today.
But today, but we are just creatures, and we do not deserve your praise. And Jesus doesn't say anything. He can accept the praise of the people, and that's how you know Jesus is God.
Yeah.
And that's where we say to those who say Jesus isn't God, that he is.
Yeah. Yes. Larry, excellent point, because he turns every single one of those from chapter 4 and turns right around and gives them right back again in chapter 5.
Yeah. Yeah. It's quite amazing, really. Yeah. And worthy. So you got myriads. So myriads is thousands, right? Thousands upon thousands and thousands upon thousands. I don't know why he says it twice. I don't know why he says it in two different ways here in this translation, actually. I guess because he doesn't want to say myriads and myriads and myriads and myriads with a loud voice. Worthy is the Lamb to receive strength and wealth and wisdom and might, glory and honor and blessing. And then they worship him. Isn't it? That's fabulous. It's just.
Yeah, it really is. And then it's like the whole of creation, right, sings this back to him, or says this back to him.
On the earth, in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth. So that's the moles. The little moles, or dwarfs, if you want to go that direction, and everything in the sea. So now we got the dolphins back. So finally, you know, they're back. Yeah,
full circle. Well done, sir. Well played again. Well played, sir. And all that is in them, right? I mean, like he leaves nothing out. It's just like you said in that part in 4, right, where everything is bowing before him. Now everything is worshiping him.
Yeah, and everything's worshiping Jesus, just like everything worshiped God.
Yeah,
because Jesus is God.
Oh.
And that's why we say this is the climax of the book. Like this 4 and 5 just lay it out. There's nothing more to be said now. I mean, you've now met the one that matters. Right. I'm in heaven and I've seen he who matters.
Right.
All of his glory in all three of them.
Right.
If you're United Church, you'll say all of her glory because they prefer that.
Yeah.
And we know that God is neither man nor woman, because God is a spirit.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so. And Lair, really, it's kind of like it's kind of neat how it sets the table to say, because this is the all powerful God, now he's gonna take action upon the earth in this way.
Yeah. That's right. And now we're gonna get the 7 seals and then the 7 trumpets and then the 7 bowls and then the 7 thunders, which we don't know anything about. And then he takes us right to the end of time.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And so those who see an actual 7-year period where destruction comes upon the earth, it's destruction coming upon the earth from the one who controls everything.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's beautiful, really.
Yeah, it really is beautiful. An all-powerful God we serve, folks.
And it doesn't say that we can do what we want with the earth because God's going to make it all new again. It doesn't say. For those that believe that, I won't go there with you.
Yeah. Yes. You've gone a place I cannot follow.
But if you realize just how fabulous Jesus is, then I think you've come a long way with this chapter.
Yeah. Folks, there's no better place to leave it than there. Lair, thanks for that. That was awesome. And folks, we've got another few weeks before we go on our annual Christmas break. So, you know, ride with us for a few more weeks, and then Larry and I will take probably about a month to 6 weeks off. It kind of depends on how it all works out with our vacation schedules and stuff like that, because we live this jet setter life that we go all these really exotic places. when I say that,
I'm going to the deep south.
Yeah, of Canada, and not Ontario either. And I already live in the frozen tundra of the southern Albertans. Anyway, but anyway, we'll be back in a few weeks. You know, we'll be back next week, and we'll keep doing this for a few more weeks, and just to give you a heads up on kind of our schedule from here on out. So, thanks so much for joining us. So appreciate you coming along with us, and we'll see you next time on the Apocalypse.